Continue the series we started a couple of weeks ago on rest. How many know learning how to rest is a good thing? How many ever feel in your life like things are just spinning out of control? Maybe you're okay now, but have you ever felt that way? You ever feel like, man, I'll tell you what, life just takes a toll. And you know, that can happen at times, but if we learn how to rest, there's something that God wants to do as we're going through the storms of life, we'll just say. We're going to talk about some different storms tonight. But you and I, really, if we would learn what Jesus wants us to learn, a better way to live, we could live really stress-free lives, enter into his rest, and realize that he's working in us, giving us the power and the desire to do the things that please him. And so we need to surrender to that and just rest. And that can be hard, you know, with life. It can be hard, but he's teaching us how. And, of course, a couple weeks ago, we looked at a couple of scriptures I want to review quickly. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said this. He said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so what he's teaching us is, look, he wants to take the burden of life off of our shoulders, all right? Ultimately coming into relationship with him, receiving his grace and forgiveness, but then growing in that relationship and starting to learn how to cast our burdens on the Lord and allowing him to take those things that you and I, you know, you and I, we worry about things we really shouldn't be worrying about. We really, Jesus said that take no thought for tomorrow, for today has enough trouble in it. How many know that? That's just wisdom. Your body is not made to deal with more than today's trouble. Come on. Some of you, today's trouble is too much, okay, right? But it's just not. And so many times, when we don't rest, when we don't cast it off, we just take trouble from one day into the next, and from that day into the next week, into the next month, into the next year. How many know what I'm saying? And we just trouble. Reminds me of that song from Music Man, Trouble with a capital P, and that, or capital T, it rhymes with P, and that stands for pool, yeah. Okay, sometimes things just pop in my head. And last week, or 2 weeks ago, I should say, we looked at Luke 10:39, where Martha and Mary welcomed Jesus into their home. And it says this of Martha, that she had a sister, verse 39, called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. But one thing," say one thing, "one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken from her." Every time I read this, I got to say this. I think, you know, when we are stressed out over life, when we are just heaping trouble upon trouble upon trouble, I've seen this in so many people's lives. I've seen it in my life. When I continue to just not take my troubles and cast it on the Lord, you see here, Martha says, "Don't you care about me?" We start looking at everybody else and said, "How come nobody cares about me?" When we heap up trouble, we wonder why nobody cares about us. We wonder why nobody's working as hard as us. We wonder why everybody else is blessed, but we're not. How many know what I'm saying? And you know, so that's one, really, a way to be able to identify that we're not taking time to cast things on the Lord, is when we start to look at other people. Okay, and start to figure, oh, how come this person and how come that person? But he said that Mary had chosen what Jesus called the good part, which was to sit patiently at Jesus' feet and to receive his word. You know, the word of God is really where our rest will come from. Jesus said this in John 6:65, I believe it is. He said, "The flesh profits nothing, but the words that I speak are spirit and life." If we want life and we want rest, it's got to be found in the word of God. Jesus said, "Abide in me and my words abide in you." I mean, you see this theme over and over and over again, that the word of God became flesh and it was Jesus. And now the peace and the rest and the comfort and all these things that we get really come from the word of God, the spirit of God, our relationship with God, waiting at his feet and receiving his engrafted word, which Peter says is able to save our souls. Isaiah 30:15, we're not going to turn there, but two weeks ago, we saw that he said, "In returning in rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." So returning, coming to the Lord brings salvation. Quietness and confidence brings a strength for you and I. And really, that's what the Lord is trying to teach us. In Hebrews 4:7, he says, "Today, if we'll hear his voice and don't harden our hearts." So many times, I've seen this time and again, good people, born again, love the Lord, don't really spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer. Listen, this is not something where we compare with each other. Well, you better spend an hour in the Word today. You better spend 2 hours. And if so-and-so spent more, then you got to do three next week. That's not what I'm saying. But am I taking time? You can take, I'll tell you, I was just talking with a friend of mine. I had lunch today with a friend of mine. And he said, you know, sometimes when I'm preaching or if he's listening to someone else preach or whatever, that sometimes he'll just have pages of notes. Other times he'll get stuck on one point and like God will just start to minister to him. And, you know, it's not only in a service like this, but even when you're reading the Word on your own day by day, you know, you can take one thing and it'll be like, oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a nugget. That's a nugget. And you can live off that. That is manna for today. And so really that is the principle. But so I've seen people that don't live that way. What we do is we start to harden our hearts towards the voice of God. All right? I'm not saying we're not saved, but what starts to happen, we'll talk a little bit more about this week. Jesus said he spoke in parables because people's hearts were hard. In the King James Version, he's talking to his disciples. The way it's written in King James, it says that their hearts have waxed cold or waxed gross. All right? And what it means, waxed, means to take and to dip, like when you make a candle, you take the wick and you dip it and you let it harden. You dip it again, you dip it again. What ends up happening is the world that draws us away, the cares of this life. We get into some kind of religiosity or whatever you want to call it. And we're not spending time with the Lord. What happens is our hearts can really become hard toward the truth of God's word. And the thing is, when we live our life on empty, our hearts can become hard. When we trust our own efforts and don't enter his rest. See, this isn't something we do. The effort we get to do is get into his presence. Take time to discipline ourselves, to learn to hear his voice, and then to live out of that presence day by day. That's where rest, peace, strength, and joy will come from. Now, tonight I want to talk a little bit about storms, and we're going to look at a couple of storms recorded in the Bible and really see that Jesus wants to bring us rest and help us to bring a calm into our storm. Mark 4:35. Storms can teach us how to rest. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. You want to know what Jesus is doing in the midst of a storm? He's sleeping, man. He's resting. And they awoke him, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care?" See, this is like Martha and Mary. Don't you care that Mary's not helping? Don't you care? See, when we get stressed out, we're like, don't you care, God? Don't you see me here? Don't you see that I'm struggling? Jesus is there. He's not worried. All right. It says, then he arose, and he rebuked the wind and said to them, or said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And so he's really saying here, look, when fear is overtaking you, faith is not. Faith and fear, I mean, they can coexist to some extent, but one's going to win. How many know what I'm talking about? And you and I, we got to let faith, matter of fact, in 1 John 4:18, I want to read this. We didn't put this in the overheads, but if you want to look it up, you can. I'll actually do this. If you'd look up, Aaron, 1 John 4, go to the New Living Translation, 1 John 4, and I want to read verse 17 and 18. Of course, verse 18 says that the perfect love casts out all fear. Many of us know that verse. But I want to back up. I'm going to read 17 as well. So this is a New Living Translation, 1 John 4:17. "And as we live in God," I want to say that again, "live in God," live in God. That's important. Let that sink in deep. Living in him is the key. In him is where it's found. We're going to talk more about this principle on Sunday in our Catching Fire series, so we'll talk more about that. But our love grows more perfect. So when we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Understand, love is where faith works by, the Bible tells us. The faith works through love. And so when we're in God, we're starting to grow in his love. Ephesians chapter 3 tells us to grow in the width, the depth, the height, the breadth, the fullness of the love of God. We're growing in God's love, realizing God is not angry at us anymore. God wants to help us in this life. He's not up there like the disciples said, "Don't you care?" It's not like that. Matter of fact, the storm that you're going through is not going to wreck you. Now, it may have come to wreck you, but that it's not going to. God is going to get you through the storm. You'll see that in a minute. But see, it says, when we live in God, our love will grow more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but will face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear. because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. And so the principle is, if we're not experiencing the perfect love of Jesus, we're in fear. We feel like we're perishing. We're not casting our burden on the Lord. Faith is not working productively. See, you and I have got to learn how to not allow the storms of life to distract us. Don't let storms get you off track. If you're going through a challenge, don't let it get you off track. Stay in the boat. Having faith doesn't exempt you from having difficulties. I'll say it again. Having faith does not exempt you from having difficulties. God never said that he would prevent every difficulty, but he did say that he would use every difficulty. You see it time and again in Scripture, and we'll look at some promises tonight. But he said, look, he is going to use the difficulty for our good. So as hard as it may be, we got to say, this difficulty's come, but I know that God is going to use it for my good. And we have to get in the habit of saying that. This storm right now, I know that it feels like things are out of control, but right now, I say, peace, be still. I come in line with the Word of God, and I know that God is working in me, that his promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Here's really the key, is realizing that God is going to direct the winds of the storm to direct you and I where he wants us to go. You got to believe that, all right? He will use it to move us from point A to point B. And we're going to see that as we look at this storm and some other ones. You're going to get where you're going, all right? If you're in him, say in him. If you're living in God, you're going to get where you're going. And God is going to use every distraction, every storm, every opportunity to get you from point A to point B. How many are happy to hear that? And he's going to, and you got to believe that. Because life is inconsistent. How many ever figured that out? Let's look at another storm a minute. Jesus just doesn't act normal like you and me in storms. We're the ones that aren't normal, but, you know, he's sleeping on a pillow. I mean, if you take a look at that storm, it was just a horrendous storm. Sea of Galilee, some huge storms can blow up there from what I understand. And it was just probably beating the boat, and they're thinking they're going to drown, and Jesus is taking a nap. Think about that. Here's another recording of a storm, Matthew 14. This is also recorded in Mark 6 and John 6. Jesus walking on the water, but we're going to look at Matthew's account, chapter 14, verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. So he made them get into the boat and go to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Jesus has got a plan here. I may think that. He knows what he's doing. He made them get in the boat. He said, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. No, he didn't say that. I said that. And it says, and he went up on a mountain and prayed. He knew what he was doing. Now, when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary. Let me just say this. Storms in life will blow contrary to the direction that you're heading in. Storms in life are going to blow contrary to the direction that you're heading in. All right? Let's read verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Every time I think, you know, Jesus says, get in a boat, shoves them off, goes up, he's praying. He's praying for them, I believe. Hebrews 7:25, it says that he lives forever to make intercession for us. All right? He's praying. He says, okay, I've prayed. It's time to check it out. And he just kind of starts walking. He gets down and walks in the water. I mean, Jesus is cool, man. All right? And he's walking. Hum-de-dee-dee-dum-de-dee. I don't know. He's probably singing some song. You know, what's that song that's real popular about being happy nowadays? Trish sings it all the time. Hey, Trish, are you in here? I've heard the song. It almost would make me happy, so you know it must be a good one. But no, it's just a happy song. But here's Jesus singing the happy song, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. Ah! That's what I like to say. It is a ghost. Do you see the spirit of fear? You could be going through something. Listen carefully. You could be going through something rough, some storm in life right now, and I guarantee you, you're like, I think I saw a ghost. Now, you may not have saw a ghost, but you're feeling that way. I mean, know what I'm saying? When you were afraid, our minds play tricks on us. They're like, is that a ghost? and they cried out for fear. Ah! That's what fear sounds like. All right. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. Or how's the happy song go over here? So that's what Jesus, so Jesus is singing that. They're going, ah, and Jesus is singing the happy song. All right. It is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come. This has nothing to do with the message, but I want to put this in here. I don't know about this plan with Peter, all right? They think it's a ghost, but he says, okay, we think that's a ghost. Now, how many? But ghost, if that's Jesus, tell me to come out there and I'm coming. What kind of plan is that? Does a ghost say, okay, I'm Jesus. I mean, well, you know, come on. My goodness. All right, back to the story. And Jesus says, come. And when Peter had come down off the boat, he walked out of the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began sinking. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately, say immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased. See, Jesus knew where they were. He was praying for them. And listen, Jesus, I want you to think about this. Jesus knew they were there, knew there was a storm, and he went to them. Hello. Don't think that God is indifferent to your storm. He is coming to you. He is coming to you. And then even as he said to Peter, come on out. Do you understand that in your storm, we got to get this tonight, that in every storm, Jesus is bidding us to come. And why? To take us to another level. Peter had never walked on the water. Nobody ever had. And as far as I know, nobody ever has done this before, aside from some of the magicians out in Las Vegas, but that's just fake. So how many know walking on the water maybe might do it and be a new level? Hello. So in the midst of your storm, Jesus is saying, come to me and see your faith go to a new level. All right? So you and I, when we face a storm, rather than going, ah, we should be singing the happy song. How's it go? All right, and then we go to Jesus because Jesus wants to bring us to a new level. So when the storm comes, say, okay, this storm is not fun. Ah, it's not fun. But I know Jesus wants to take me to a new level in my faith. And really, this is how we enter into rest and just start to take a nap with Jesus on a pillow. See, if we stay close to Jesus, how many know he even says, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? And immediately, they're in the boat, storm ceases, they're on shore. All right? Stay close to Jesus and you'll get to your destination. Verse 34, and when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out unto all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, verse 36, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. And so the thing is, look, I just want to say tonight, stay on track, stick with the plan of God for your life, and you are going to see the power of God start to move through your life. So the thing is, we freak out in the middle of a storm, and then we're freaking out, and we're not seeing the opportunities that God has for us to be able to share the gospel, to pray for people, to buy somebody's groceries, to buy somebody's lunch, to buy somebody's clothes. Come on, help people out. Pray for people. Whatever God, Holy Spirit is speaking to us, that we're learning that, look, in this storm, if I'll just stay on track, because see, there they go. There's a storm. Jesus comes along, bids Peter to come out, taking him to a new level. He kind of misses it a little bit, but because he's staying close to Jesus, he gets back into the boat. They get to where they're going to be. When they get to where they're going to be, Jesus just starts to move in miracles and stuff, because that is the life of a believer. Don't let your storm distract you and get you off course, because that's what the devil wants. See, a lot of people say they have faith, but in tough times, they fall apart. And they feel like maybe God disappointed them. And I know how that can feel. Joel Osteen, in his book Breakout, he said this about storms. He says, the storm may have been meant for your harm, but God knows how to shift the winds. Instead of blowing you backward, he can cause them to blow you forward, where you will come out better, stronger. And that storm also will move you to a place of greater blessing and greater influence. How many know that is just a good attitude? Because really, if we would just keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, we are going to get to a place of greater blessing, a place of greater influence, if we'll just stay focused on the prize. Let's look at another storm. We've got a few minutes left here tonight. Acts 27. This is Paul's voyage to Rome. Paul is being taken to Rome to see Caesar. He's requested for a trial there. He's been put on trial by the Jewish people. And so he's handcuffed and in shackles, and he's being taken with some centurions and some soldiers. And they're traveling. And it says this in verse 9. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous, I know God's getting ready to do something here. Sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over. Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." You may think this is not a good report. Paul's praying. He says, "I don't think we should be going." Nevertheless, verse 11, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship. I mean, no, the owner of the ship may have a little bit of persuasion power, all right. Then by the things spoken by Paul, verse 12, and because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, and by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. Let me just say a couple of things about this. Wherever you're heading in your journey with God, not everyone's going to hear you at first. All right? They're not going to hear you. When you're going through a storm, people may not hear you. All right? People may not cooperate. Okay? Everything in your life may not make sense. Come on, somebody. How about this one? You might have to submit to somebody. We hate those storms. I'm my own captain. No, Jesus says, "I'm your captain. I'm your captain." Okay. Some of you younger ones don't know that song. But see, the rest of us over 40 years old remember that song. All right. I was pretty kind there. All right. Might have to submit to someone. But here's the thing. You know, and Paul said, "Look, we're going to die." Now, he's forced to get in the boat because he's handcuffed. But let's just realize this. Get in the boat anyway. Get in the boat. Even if people aren't cooperating, even if you got to submit to somebody else, get in the boat. Remember, he knows where you are on this journey. Verse 13, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euclidion. Don't use all your faith trying to pray away every difficulty. Sometimes, "Oh, Lord, just get me out of this storm. Oh, God, I just made this thing. I wish it were not. Oh, they were so mean to me." I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. But, you know, how many we think that? We're going through something, and all of us, every one of us. And sometimes we're just moping and complaining and griping. That's one thing Christians do. We may not always pray, but we do gripe. All right. But don't use all your faith trying to pray every difficulty away. You know, so many times things come into our lives and we're just rebuking the devil and we're casting this devil out and we're doing the other thing and we're doing this and the other. And, you know, we are missing the opportunity God has. Listen, if you have surrendered to the Lord, if you're seeking him, if you're just trying to get it right, listen, you're not going to get it perfect anyway. How many know that? You can't. You don't have to. Just surrender to him. Get in the boat. Get on the journey. Stay in fellowship with other believers. Read your Bible once in a while. Pray daily somehow. Communicate. Not just casting out all the difficulties, but saying, "Lord, this is what you spoke. I'm going to trust you. I'm getting in the boat." And then pray that when the wind blows, you'll end up exactly where you need to be. Say, "Lord, this storm is blowing, but I know that it's going to blow me right to where I need to be. That I'm going to end up in your will. No matter what comes my way, I'm going to end up where you have planned for me." See, remember, God had promised Paul that he would stand before Caesar, and he knew God would complete the work. 1 Timothy 2:12, we don't have to put it up there, but Paul says, I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to do all that I've committed to him until that day. Paul knew that. Paul said, you know, I trust Jesus. He called me into this thing. He's going to carry me through. Come on, somebody. He did this. He did this. But the storm that they're in grows worse and worse and more severe. And it's so severe, they start to throw equipment overboard to lighten the ship. And they're tossing things overboard. Can you imagine? Paul could have been thinking, like many of us would think, here I am in the middle of God's will. What's happening to me? I'm in the middle of God's will, and we're going to die. But how many know that's not what he did? He didn't do that. Verse 18. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Sometimes you and I will face difficulty because we're going in the wrong direction. That's true, or we're doing something wrong. But you know, there's other times that we're doing something right. And I really believe that if we're surrendered to the Lord, again, we're not perfect, but if we're submitted to his plan for our lives, you and I have got to realize things are coming against us for that reason. For that reason. And if you and I would allow the Lord to build a good foundation in our lives and trust him that things will work out, we will get to where he wants to take us. Listen, you and I cannot allow the storms of life to dictate our future. Allow God's word and principles to dictate our future so we can stay the course in the storm. You and I are going to reach our destination. See, so what they do, this storm is severe. They've lightened the ship. They take the sails down, and they kind of just say, you know what? We're taking these sails down, and wherever it blows us, it's going to blow us. All right? And you may feel like that. Maybe you've prayed. You believe God's word. But you feel like the storm is just out of control. If that's where you're at, let me just say, don't try to control it yourself. Just ride it out. Just ride it out. I think many times we give up and we jump ship and we don't get to the other side. But if we'll stay in the ship, stay in the ship, you and I are going to get to where God wants to take us. Rest, trust his lead. I really believe that God is never going to take you somewhere that he will not have provision for you and sustain you. I mean, you remember the prophet Elisha. When the famine came, first God tells him to go to the brook Cherith. And the Bible says that ravens came and brought him bread and meat. And then when the brook dried up, he said, I've commanded a widow woman. A widow woman. You know the story. A widow woman. I mean, you think about, you know, commands a widow woman to provide for his needs. How many know? God will take care of you. If you're bold enough to ask a widow woman for bread, no, it's just, yeah. Wow. There you go. Elisha. Woo. Psalm 37:25. I love this scripture. I have been young, and now I'm not as young as I used to be. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. I ain't going to say I'm old. Sorry, you can. But see, it doesn't matter. God is not going to allow us to go hungry. He is going to sustain you. Don't give up. So many times we'll be waiting. You know, we're in a storm. We're on track. We're in the boat, and it's not working out right, and we can't see the shore, and we jump out, and we try to make it happen our own way, and what we'll end up doing, listen, you're sure not going to know you're not going to swim in the direction that you don't know what's out there. You're going to jump overboard and do what? Swim right back to shore where you came from. What's that mean? Starting over. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Come on, you know. But isn't that what we do? No, I can't do this. And we try to figure out something else. Where if we'd stay in the boat and say, no, I'm staying the course. Say, stay the course. And you and I, if we would just do that and believe that God is going to provide for us, Jesus said in Matthew 7:24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he'll be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and they beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Notice, the storms of life come on the good foundation and on the sand. The rains fall, the winds blow, but the sure foundation of Christ Jesus will not fail. Psalm 34, 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all. Say all. All. Say all. All. He delivers us out of all of our troubles. Finally, back to Paul in Acts 27, 21. After long abstinence from food, Paul stood up in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me." Now, Paul probably wasn't one, but I'd be like, "I told you so." Okay. And not if you should have listened to me and not sailed to Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. So you're not going to die, but the ship is gone. All right. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe that God will be it'll be just as God told me. However, we must run aground at a certain island." So here he's saying, look, he stands up, and here's the thing. If you will have Paul's attitude in your storm, you'd stand up and you'd say, okay, everybody would take note. I don't have time to get into the story tonight, but I'm thinking of a time in my life that was one of the greatest storms I've ever gone through. It was the greatest storm I had ever faced at that point in my life. It's probably about 18 years ago. And I remember I thought it was over, man. It was terrible. But you know that because I had this attitude, I didn't like it, but I stuck with the plan of God. And you know, God used that. And people said, well, we know what you went through, and we see how you're acted. You got something we want. And I had people coming to me wanting me to share the word of God with them. It was an amazing thing. And God will do the same thing for you. But Paul stands up and he says, look, I know it's going to be bad, but I have God's word that we are not going to die. It might get rough, but we are not going to die. And you notice he says, the angel came to him and said, you will stand before Caesar. God is confirming whatever word he has spoken to you tonight, it's going to be completed. Say, it will be completed. God is going to complete the thing that he spoke to you. Verse 7 in chapter 28. In that region, they finally get to this certain island. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways. And then when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. Do you see how similar this is to the storm that Jesus was in with the disciples? They get there, but after the storm, God moves in a great way. Not only do we see that the gospel is preached, but healings take place. God honors them, gets them everything they need for their journey, and sends them on their way so they get to go to where they're going. And Paul stands before Caesar, even as God had spoken to him. Listen, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:2 that you are an epistle written on our hearts, known and read by all men. God is etching a story on you that can be told by when people look at you because of the trials and the storms that you've gone through. But let me just say this tonight. Don't jump ship. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't swim back to shore. Stay on the boat and keep moving forward. Because if you're on the boat, Jesus is on the boat with you, and you're going to get to your destiny. Amen? Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, I thank you for the word of God this evening. I pray for each person here tonight that it has been sowed into good soil. Tonight you're here and you're facing a storm or something you're going through, and you say, boy, I'm getting back in the boat. If that's you tonight, lift your hands and say, I'm getting back in the boat. Look at that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, yeah. I knew we had the right group tonight. Hallelujah. Well, Father, tonight I just confess that we are in the boat with your Son, Jesus Christ. That you have given us all that we need. We are not jumping ship.
me just say this. There's no life preserver when you jump ship. I just feel like Holy Spirit said that. If you jump ship, you're on your own. Father, tonight we just take comfort in the fact that Jesus is with us. He will not forsake us. He'll never leave us. And we can boldly say the Lord is our helper. You know, it says in Hebrews chapter 13, to be satisfied with such things as you have, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what can man do unto me. So tonight we say we're satisfied, Lord, with what you've given us. We're sitting in this boat. We're going to continue to move forward, and we're not jumping out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for coming tonight. If you want to know how to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, grab some.